Remember earlier in the week we were talking about idiots. There was a learner driver, a kid caught drink driving 0.257. I'm amazed he could stand up. 0.257 without a license. Then eight young people piled into one car, two of them in the boot. I spoke to Sergeant Rick Lewis, a very experienced traffic police officer who was just as frustrated as I were. We talked about how do you get a message through to kids, and we sort of began to wonder whether you ever could. At least with the eight kids in the car, the driver was sober. He was trying to give them a lift home because they couldn't get taxis in the weather. But how incredibly stupid. And 0.257, well. One of the world's leading experts in young driver behaviour is in town for a road safety conference. Thought we'd get his ideas. He's from the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute, Professor Ray Bingham. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do we have to accept we can't reach young drivers? Are they just going to be stupid?
Well, they're going to be inexperienced until for quite a while, right? It's learning to drive, I think, is a double-edged sword because you have to drive to learn, but when you're inexperienced, you're not very good at it. So I think we have to focus on what we can do to keep them safer during that time when they're learning.
It's not just learning to drive, though, is it? It's learning to be responsible.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's learning how to be a part of society that contributes to well-being through safety.
Our program psychologist tells me the male brain doesn't mature until 25. Does that mean we should be shouldn't be driving till we're 25?
I don't think so. And I base that on risk curves that we've measured following licensure. And risk drops much more quickly than the brain matures. So I think the acquisition of skills can happen much more quickly.
What's the key skill you're talking about?
Oh, well, I don't know that there's one key skill. Kids learn how to manage the vehicle pretty quickly. That's one of the first things. And the things that are harder to learn are how to read the intentions of other drivers, where to look for hazards on the road, how to predict where hazards might appear from unexpectedly. And those kinds of things take a long time to learn.
Do you, in the United States, I don't know how you do it, I've always got a concern, we don't teach people properly how to drive, the sort of things you're talking about, hazard perception, about car control as well, obviously, but we just don't teach it properly. Do you teach it properly?
Oh, no. No, we don't. The kids get just a very tiny bit of experience driving a car with a driver educator when they're in taking driver's ed. And, you know, we really need to do a lot more to educate them. But not just to educate them, but to train them. I think, you know, if you look at the research on mastery, we know that you have to practice specific skills again and again in a structured way over a long period of time and progress from the simplest to the hardest components of those skills. We don't have any of that in our driver education programs.
We have courses like defensive driving courses that we do have in this country, not for young people, but you know anybody will go and take them. They're not compulsory, where you are taught how to control a skid, what to do if you get into gravel, the proper distance from the car in front, those sort of things.
We do have those. And parents like to put their kids in these courses because they feel like it's going to help them be safer. What we've seen in the research that's been done is that especially for young men, it seems to just make them overly confident. And, you know, what I always point out to people is that experienced safe drivers focus very much on avoiding the situation where they skid or they have to recover from dropping a wheel off the shoulder of the road. They don't go out every morning and practice that so that they can maintain their skill.
Well, it's true, but I mean, I've done a number of advanced driving courses to drive in car races, and I've got no doubt it saved me a couple of times on the road from serious crashes, just to know what to do in a situation all locked up, wet road, skidding towards another car, or somebody else coming out of nowhere, just knowing how to control the car better.
Granted, in the most extreme situations, that might help.
What about age? What age in Michigan, what age do the kids get their license?
They get their learner permit at 14 years and 9 months, and they get their provisional license at 16.
What age are they allowed to drink alcohol?
Age 21.
Is that the way we should go? I mean, we're 18 for both.
Well, I personally think that age 21 works very well in the U.S. because it wasn't so many years ago when I was growing up. It was 18 was the age when you could begin to drink legally, and what we saw was 18-year-olds. I mean, they're still in high school, and so that opens access to alcohol to even younger kids. If they're 21, they're out of high school. They're often out of undergraduate level college. And so it puts a bigger barrier between these very young kids and the alcohol.
Okay. Is there, so you see a point to being driving. Well, should we look at making our driving age younger? We're 18. We'd be better off looking at, say, bringing it down and allowing the drinking at 18.
I don't think so. You know, the research that's out there suggests that people who get their license at age 18 in the U.S. are safer drivers than those who get them at age 16. They still start off at a higher risk, but they're still much safer than they were at 16.
Is technology emerging as a particular problem for younger drivers? We have a huge problem with the mobile phone use and driving here.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible problem, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
How do we cope with that?
Well, I think it's a really tough problem, and you know, they have technological interventions that will block the phone when your car's moving. People don't want to use those. They're not at all acceptable. So I'm not sure that's the answer. But, you know, I have to wonder, as a society, we don't accept people drinking and driving. Why do we accept texting and driving?
Well, we don't here.
Yeah. Well,
do you accept it in the States?
In terms of having a law?
Hmm.
No, we don't. In terms of interpersonally? Sure. It's, you know, you would be very reluctant to admit to someone, oh, yeah, you know, I was way over the level last night and I drove home anyway. That would be very looked down upon socially. But if you said, oh, yeah, you know, I was texting my friend while I was driving, you might, you know, certain people might say, ooh, you shouldn't do that or you should be careful, but you see people doing it all the time.
I'll just interrupt you if I may, and this is almost relevant. Nick, what's happened?
Yeah, I'm just driving out Country Victoria at the back of Pakenham towards Yellingbow, and I've seen about 20 emergency service vehicles, and there's a car in the trees, and it's not looking good. It's a bit wet out here, very free roads, and it just doesn't look good. Just I started to hear this conversation.
Okay, that's what... Where is it exactly, Nick? We'll get on to the police.
About 2 kilometres out of Yellingbow as you're coming into it from Pakenham Way.
Okay. Thank you very much, Nick. Thanks for calling. Professor Bingham, what about practice? We require kids to do 120 hours before they get their licence, practising with parents and others.
Well, I think that's a wonderful opportunity for parents to help their teens and their young drivers acquire good driving skills. I think the problem that I see there is that we really haven't given parents any evidence-based tools to work or programs to use to educate their teens. And as a result, when I know in the U.S., when I talk to parents, a lot of them say, well, you know, I don't know what to do. So he basically chauffeurs me around when I have to run errands. And again, getting back to the concepts of mastery, it would be much better if they were focusing on specific skills and practicing those skills with their teen.
So we want to teach the parents how to teach.
I think we do. I think we need programs that help parents do that.
Thank you very much for coming in. Good idea. Thank you. Professor Ray Bingham, University of Michigan, Transportation Research Institute.